Well, hello again, and welcome back to Cherish Ephesians 6:4. This week's article is titled Obeying Ephesians 6:4 Through Teaching Children Biblical Stewardship. So, we've been studying the biblical passages about God's instructions to parents. We started with the command in Ephesians 6:4 to raise children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and worked our way back to the Old Testament, where God gave his people greater specifics on the topics, as well as numerous encouragements and warnings concerning the obedience of parents. We might also keep the Great Commission, Matthew 28:20, front and center before us, as Jesus tells his disciples to teach them to observe all that I have commanded. So with all of those commands in mind, I want to begin to think about what those commands look like in our 21st century homes. In other words, the practical examples of how we work out obeying Ephesians 6:4 in our daily lives at home with the kids. This particular article is about obeying Ephesians 6:4 through teaching children biblical stewardship. And as I began to make some notes, I realized that most Christian parents will have a very difficult time teaching their children about stewardship, because they are woefully remiss themselves. I don't think I'm going out on a limb here to say that the majority of Christian parents handle money and financial decisions in the same way that non-Christians do. And I want to be quick to add that I lived my life the same way many years ago and experienced very painful times when my financial world came crumbling down. So I know of what I speak. As an aside, I am recording a new podcast called Choose Your Master, God or Money, and I'm hoping that it will be a help in this important area of the Christian life. More about that to come later on. The Bible has much to say about pleasing Christ through obeying biblical principles of stewardship, so I plead with you to implement these 10 ideas that follow in your family. First one we'll call store situation number one. And your child is begging you to buy something in the store, and you can't afford it. Tell them the truth, that you are purchasing only as much as God has provided for your family, and it doesn't meet the qualification of being a necessity. The second situation, back in the store again, is your child is begging you to buy something in the store, and you can afford it. But it is something like just another stuffed animal that is not a good use of the money that God has entrusted to you. You should tell them that you will one day give an account to God on how you spent his money, and so will they. Tell them that you have to spend on things that God would approve. And by the way, as I was thinking about this, I imagine if our credit cards got rejected on any purchases that God was not pleased with. Can you imagine that? Very convicting. Anyway, on to number three. Store situation again. Your child is begging you to buy something in the store, and you can't afford to buy it. Teach them that they have to wait, even if you can afford it. This is an opportunity to teach both patience and contentment, both of which do not come naturally, but builds Christian character. Number four, teach them the value of comparison shopping. Yes, it takes time to get educated and compare, but this is what we do as good stewards of God's money. And you might want to take them by your local Goodwill store to show them that it isn't always necessary to purchase things that are brand new. Number five, your child begins to compare the stuff that another family has to what your family has. This is the age-old sin of coveting. Tell them that God has provided for your family the way he thinks is best, and maybe one day, if God chooses to bless, you may have something similar to what the Joneses have. Number six, we are not able to go on vacation this year. These words have been so difficult to say by some parents that they have chosen not to tell the truth to their children and put the entire expense on a credit card anyway. This is another missed teaching opportunity for parents, and it allows the children to grow an entitlement mentality, one that does not work in reality and is not pleasing to God. Number seven, according to God's word, work is good. Don't let your kids hear you whining about your job. Instead, give thanks that God is providing through the job, no matter how difficult it may be. Had a good week? Received a bonus? Share that with the children and lead them in giving thanks to God. Number 8. Use 3 envelopes and label one giving, one savings, and one spending. Then of each dollar that is earned or received in gifts by your child, place 10% in the giving envelope, 30% in the savings envelope, and 60% in the spending envelope. If you stick with this discipline, you will have taught your child a wonderful habit that may last a lifetime. Don't miss using the opportunity to give, probably to the church, and what the Bible says about giving. Number 9. Tell them about your family finances and tell them the truth about any sinful or unwise decisions you have made. What a tremendous opportunity for them to see the gospel in real life. Let them see your vulnerability, your humility before God, the forgiveness that you have in Christ, and your dependence on the Lord going forward. Number 10. Teach them a systematic savings plan. Typically, parents encourage a child to save so they can get something that they desire to have. This is the American way of thinking, but it is not God's way. Create the plan with a goal of not saving just to get something material. That just trains them to be materialistic. An actual savings account of some kind will be helpful so they can see it grow, even if it is in small amounts. These are just some of the incredible everyday teaching moments that God gives us as we work out our stewardship of His money and obey Ephesians 6:4. You have both the opportunity and the responsibility before God to teach these things to your children. If you consider these 10 points and realize that you are guilty of not doing these things yourself, it is time to confess and change your ways. Sadly, many of us try to satisfy our thirst for happiness by buying things for ourselves or spending money on all kinds of entertainment or experiences. But it's like digging cisterns that will never give the true water that we need. We can only find our thirst assuaged and our desires transformed by living each moment in the presence of Christ. If you find yourself having to chase peace and happiness in all the wrong places, stop today and call out to Christ. God is gracious if you will but call on Him for help.